Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
As we come into this Lenten season, we have the account of the temptation of Jesus, and we're very blessed in hearing how our Lord Jesus Christ has complete victory over Satan. We see the second Adam who has mastery, who is not tempted into sin, and who dismisses the devil, and Satan has to go. So it's a day of rejoicing when we remember this, great feat of Jesus at the very beginning of his earthly ministry. And as we see how he wrestles with the devil and overcomes him, the same one that overcame our first parents, but now the second Adam overcomes him, as we read that, we can take note on how we too can have victory over the devil. So we see the different phases of the temptation unfold, and we can learn very much. In the first place, we see that the Lord Jesus is tempted. And so that gives us a great comfort already, because we know that it's not a sin to be tempted. A lot of people, when they are in temptation, think that they are a bad person, or that they're somehow ashamed because they're beset by so many temptations. They have intrusive thoughts that come into their mind. They're like, oh, how could I ever think that? Well, it didn't come from them. It originated from another source, the world, the flesh, or the devil. And this is not according to their new nature in Christ. And so now, fortified with the new manhood that has come up in them, they can resist that intrusive thought. And that is called wrestling with temptation. And it's not a sin to be tempted. Our Lord Jesus, who was without sin, was sorely tempted by Satan. And so he did no sin. We see that he didn't take the thought and run with it. He didn't take the thought and agree with it and then do it or say it. No, he overcame it. And he shows us, too, how to be overcomers and not to go into league with the one who would draw us into rebellion against God. So, not a sin to be tempted. And we also see that the Lord Jesus, as soon as he makes the beginning of his earthly ministry by his baptism in Jordan River, and as he is then anointed for ministry, he is immediately assailed by Satan. And this is helpful for us to know as well, because when we make a claim for Christ, and when we set out to do his will, and this can be even small things like, this Lent, I'm going to do this, this, and that for Jesus. It can be that small. The enemy will take notice, and there is resistance. We will feel it. And so this happens to Jesus. It will happen to us. Let us not be surprised when we come into temptation. Let us not be surprised at the fiery trial that awaits us. It's part of our Christian warfare. We signed up for this. We are in the battle. So don't be surprised if there is a fight. And here is the warning that is given in Ecclesiasticus. Very helpful words to us. And I remember this was the lesson appointed for evening prayer from the Old Testament when I had the first evensong at seminary. And we signed the book and put our name in the register, and here was the prayer the Old Testament lesson for evening prayer. From the second chapter of the apocryphal book of Ecclesiasticus, my son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for a temptation. Set thy heart aright and constantly endure, and make not haste in time of trouble. Cleave unto him and depart not away, that thou mayest be increased at thy last end. Whatsoever is brought upon you, take cheerfully, and be patient when thou art changed to a low estate. For gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. Believe in him, and he will help thee. Order thy way aright, and trust in him. Those are words that all of us can assimilate into our own lives. And so now that we come into this Lenten season, let us remember that we are in the fight. We've chosen up sides. We're under the banner of Christ, the winning side, and we will overcome in Christ. So we also see in the Lord's temptation the limitations of the devil. This is important for us too, because one of the enemy's tricks is to make us think that he's bigger than he is. So where do we see that? We see it especially at the pinnacle of the temple. Now, the enemy takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, up to the very heights. They're looking down. So just imagine, when's the last time you're in a tall building looking down, right? It's stories up there. And they're looking down, and the enemy says, "Cast thyself down, for it is written that he will give his angels charge over thee, that thou hurtest, dashest not thy foot against a stone." So it's even written that God will protect you. You're not even going to stub your toe on a rock. So prove it. If you're the Son of God, jump off the temple, and he'll catch you for sure, right? Because you're his son. Well, what a great temptation that is, right? Jesus rebuffs it by saying, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." But notice how limited the devil is. He doesn't push him off the temple. I mean, if he wants to do him harm, why, and they're up on that very, you know, pinnacle point, why doesn't the devil just push him off of a sudden? And he goes headlong, whoa. He has limitations. He can't touch him. He can't push him. He can't do whatever he wants to Jesus. And the devil can't do whatever he wants to you either. Instead, he has to try and convince Jesus to jump off the temple. And that's what the enemy will try and do to you. He will try and convince you to harm yourself. That's one of his primary tactics. And if we don't take the bait and harm ourselves, no hurt comes to us. Notice that the devil didn't push the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil into Eve's mouth. It wasn't force-feeding there. He had to persuade her. He had to seduce her. He had to trick her into eating of that fruit. And so knowing the enemy's tactics and knowing the will of God, let us not follow the tempter's voice that we would do ourselves any harm. Let us become wise and not place ourselves in the near occasion of sin where we could be easily tempted. And then when we are sorely tempted, let us not take the bait. And if we're in a place where we're being sorely tempted, let us call on others to assist us in this temptation. A lot of times the enemy will isolate us, he'll work on us to try and get us to do something that is against the will of God and to our own hurt. And if we simply mention that to somebody else, like, "I'm really being sorely tempted to do such and such," and to think, then it's amazing how the enemy has no power. Name the sin, it loses its power. I've had many conversations where somebody was willing to come to me and say, "Canon Dart, I'm in trouble with this and that." I'll say, "Well, say on," and we say a prayer, and they're like, "Well, it just seems so small now." You know? What seemed so big before, it just seems so small. In fact, it seems kind of ridiculous. Well, yeah. Sin makes no sense. If we really put it against the light of truth, it vanishes like a wisp. And so we see the limitations of the devil in this example, in this historical account of the temptation of Christ. The enemy is finite. Our God is infinite. That puts it in perspective. The enemy is a creature, and our God is creator. The enemy only exists by the love of God. Without the love of God, the devil would not have any existence. He derives his being from the one who is being. He's very limited. And in Christ, we have victory over the enemy. And let's remember that in this Lenten season, that Jesus, when he came, second Adam, was able to overcome the enemy. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus Christ is victor. That means our captain of salvation is the one who has already won the fight. The decisive battle has been won, C.S. Lewis said. The decisive battle in this war has been won on the cross, and now we live in the mop-up operation. And so what does that mean for us? It means we follow in the victory train of Christ. And that's our vocation now, is to follow. So he is victor, he has already won, and ours is to follow in the train of that victory, claiming him as captain of salvation, and we too will be victorious. And so let us rest in that grace given. We will be tempted, yes. The enemy is limited. He can only and tries to get us to hurt ourselves. And Christ is victor, and in him we are victorious. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.